Jeff, I expect more. I just don't know what I'm going to do with you. Oh, it just takes the thunder away. But anyway, I'm just kidding. The question for the next couple of weeks is going to be, and probably always is with me, are you a fan or a follower? And the challenge in the next couple of weeks is to really understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Now, I'm just going to tell you two funny stories to open up. Is that okay? All right, is it all right? Just tell two. Janae, you probably should leave. Is that all right? And just come back in about 1 minute. Thank you so much for your prayers. We did get COVID after the missions trip and spent about half our vacation sick and went to the ER and all that mess. And God took care of us and gave us meds and shots and injections. And thank you for those that we privately reached out to pray for us. And we appreciate it. And the second half of the journey, I just hacked up loogies the whole time just for fun. Okay, I figured you want to know that. But anyway, I just want to tell you two fun things. Imagine us in this podunk place in Wyoming with our camper all muddy and all dirty. It's right by the river, this cheap little place. The nice thing about camping is you can go cheap, you can hike cheap. And so we're by this riverside. Our kids were enjoying the day. And they were kind of, wouldn't you say, like look like mountain children? We look like mountain children. My beard was this big. I hadn't shaved or showered. I just didn't feel like it. And so we're by the river, and they were all dirty and kind of just looked a mess. And so our younger children, not Janae, said, is it okay? And they were still in pajamas. It's like 6 at night. So anyway, you can picture what we look like. We don't look like we do today. Anyway, they come up to us. I'm sitting in my chair trying to read my Bible, and she's trying to read some crazy book. And they say to us, what? Can we take our pajama pants off? Well, we thought in our mind, right, that underwear and a t-shirt is just like a bathing suit. In fact, a bathing suit, you know, their one pieces would have straps, so a little bit more coverage. And so just as we say yes to the children and they begin, because nobody's around, nobody, I mean, we're in the middle of Wyoming, nowhere, okay, with like 100 people in this town. And we say, oh, well, go ahead, and up pulls a 1965 motorhome, probably as long as this building, and about 30 Mennonites begin to pile out of the motorhome. If you know anything about Mennonites, you know they were fully clothed with all kinds of things keeping everything in, and buns and all kinds of stuff, as my children are taking their pants off and running into the water with their, you know, just being who they are. And so I thought no one was around, and they're piling out, and you can imagine the young little girls fully clothed chuckling and pointing at our children, and then one of our children looking back at them and saying, oh, daddy and mommy, there's the people that wear costumes. And I said, if it couldn't get any worse, the next child said, oh, there's the Muslims. And I had just explained to them 3 days earlier when we were hiking and passed them in their full clothing, we had explained that they're Mennonites, they're just really conservative Christians, and anyway, and so I just waved to the gentleman and said, hey, I'm so glad to have you as neighbors, and he was like, hi, and so what a great way to start that night off, and anyway, and on to the Mennonites. You know, they can hike 5 miles in full clothes with no water bottles. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. We kept passing the same family that our children was asking us questions about. Are they Muslims? You know, why are they wearing so much clothes? I mean, it's a hike. They're sweating. Where are their water bottles? I mean, a million questions. And kids have a way of just saying it like I'm saying it. Instead of like, hey, can you tell me about, you know, they don't say that. They say, dad, there's those costume people again. I'm like, stop calling them the costume people. Now, if you're one of these people, I'm sorry, okay, but I'm about to just describe something. We did a lot of hiking on this trip because we intended to see God's creation, and so we hiked and hiked and hiked more, and we're done hiking. And so anyway, we found ourselves on a 4.9-mile hike up the Tetons to a lake or something, and something that her friend had decided we're going to do. And so 3 days after, like, really finally getting over COVID, and we're walking up, and I was amazed at, because I kept looking back at our children who were dressed all cute. You know what I'm saying? This day we were going out, so they were cute in like matching dresses and sandals. I mean, just not things you go on a 5-mile hike in. You know what I'm saying? And our kids, they hike anywhere. It's surprising. I don't know how they do it, but they do. And I kept passing these people. If you're one of these, it's okay. I'm glad you do it. But like these men that are like really built, okay, with all these muscles and like muscle shirts on, and they have these hiking sticks that are about $190 a piece, and they had these shoes on that looked like they were probably, what, $200, and then the fanny pack with all their protein bars in and their water camel sack on the back with the, and they're sucking on their camel sack. And every time they would go by or pass us, I would think to myself, like, are we going to make it? I mean, where are we headed? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, they look like they're going to. And so then we get up to the top and there's a whole group of them and they're stretching and stuff and extending their legs. And my girls are like, what are they doing? I'm like, I really don't know. I think we're on the same hike, you know, but maybe their mind's somewhere else. And our five-year-olds did it. They did it. And they pull out these big boulder, what are they called? Boulder protein bars. And I'm like slapping peanut butter and jelly that I carried in my children's like backpack because we forgot one. And I had forgotten to make the sandwiches before we left. So I just brought the can of homemade, right? We freezer jam that we made here in Indiana and the peanut butter from Great Value and the water bottles from Great Value and Doritos. And so we're sitting there eating Doritos next to this group of men that have these protein bars and these camelback things. And I said, I think we both made it. You know what I'm saying? We didn't need all that stuff to make it. And so thankfully we made it and we all made it back down and they were down there as well stretching. So anyway, we didn't do any stretching, but we did it. And so just imagine the D'Agostinos on vacation. It's always a lot of fun in their underwear. So you weren't in your underwear, so you're safe. Okay. Anyway, you get to a point where that's not cute anymore. So fan or follower, all right? I'm pretty excited about this. Been reading, studying, preparing, and so pretty excited to share today. Continue to keep Pastor Joey and Stacy in your prayers as they recover. And I want to have you turn to Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. So as I'm talking, if you want to get there and get prepared for the reading of God's word. But I want to encourage you about something. The great thing about being a follower of Jesus is that he equips, he takes care, he sustains, he is able to do what we cannot do. And I think that's one of the greatest hurdles in our minds, and you hear me say it a lot, but we have to be reminded that he takes care of the areas that we can't handle, that we feel like we can't step into. And so, have you all ever been a fan of something? Y'all, come on now. Okay, so Carrie did something really sweet. She made the flyer in green. Why? You know, because the Eagles are one of the greatest teams, won the Super Bowl in 2017, you know what I'm saying? But to graciously be gracious to you, I did everything in blue. And blue is Colts. Isn't that nice of me? Wait till it's green next week. I just couldn't figure out how to change the slide. Carrie did. And so anyway, next week it'll be green. But for this week, it's a gift to you. Many of you are fans of some type of team, of something. It may not be sports. You may be a fan of an author or a fan of something. I don't know. Are you all fans of something? John Deere. I mean, even if it's not a team, I don't know, John Deere. I go to some of your houses and you have little collections, you know what I'm saying? So you're a fan of something. Well, there's a difference between like a fan and a follower, okay? A follower is like, I used to hear about this, like roadies, and what do they call them? When you follow like a band, you would scream and stuff and be at every one of their events. What is that, a roadie? Groupie, that's the word. I was thinking about it all week. I'm like, I can't remember that word. But, you know, maybe some of you were groupies at some time. I don't know. I guess I could try to follow Dolly or something. I don't know. But I don't get that excited about people. So I feel like we're all normal and I don't understand that. But anyway, you might have been a groupie and that's okay too. If you're one of those hikers or groupies, that's all right. You're welcome here. But anyway, there's a difference in being a fan and a follower. I'm a fan of football. But I promise you, I'm not at every game. I'm not at the sideline. I'm not in the locker room. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not there all the time. I'm not on top of all the stats. I'm just not. I don't have time for that. But, like, I do have time to be a follower of Jesus. And see, a follower of Jesus is someone who's right with Jesus, who's looking, seeing, hearing, understanding. And see, there's just a difference. See, many of you get confused because we're so used to, like, following. You know, now we follow people. I think it is on Facebook. You know what's funny about y'all? You know, I'm going to let a secret out for your friends. I hear this a lot in the church. Somebody will say, well, did you see what I post? And I'll hear someone say, oh, I didn't see it. Now, you know what I'm thinking in my mind? They still like you, but they've unfollowed you, and so they never know what. You know what I'm saying? They don't know that you've unfollowed them. You know what I'm saying? And then I get to stand and just chuckle in my head. I know they ain't following them. They just like their, you know, y'all don't like that because that let your secret out, right? Now you're all going to wonder when they say, I didn't see that, say, they unfollowed me. But see, we think about following in that way, and an indirect following, just kind of following what people are doing, but not really. And the difference is that Jesus called his disciples, And we've already studied this year. That was all preparation for this series. They dropped everything. Remember we talked about Matthew? Dropped everything. Everything they knew, everything they were a part of, everything they trusted in, everything they had faith in, they left to follow Jesus, which got them ready for this passage. Because there was nothing in the way, nothing hindering them, nothing keeping them from saying, okay, we'll go do it. And so that leads us to Mark chapter 6, verse 7, if you would stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Remember, this is Jesus, and he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. Sounds like Noah, right? Two by two came to the ark. He begins to send them out two by two and gave them, and here's a key word, authority. We like authority, so that's a word we understand. So Jesus gave these men authority over the unclean spirits. Very specific. He charged, and you know what it is to have a charge, right? He's gifted them, he's given them a calling, he's given them a charge, and he charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you when you leave, I love this, and Paul does this, another, you see it throughout scripture. We don't like it in the American church because it means we might offend somebody. But shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. Now, y'all are not going to like that part. It's at the end. So if you're getting antsy about 10:05, head on out. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. God, today, help us to understand the concepts that are found. Help us to understand the hearts that were ready and prepared for your calling. God, help us to get this. Help us to go from fan to follower. And God, I know, and what Abby said this morning, when we're a follower, there is a table full. And God, my desire is that all of us would experience your fullness, no matter where we are in the journey. Because see, when we're full, we can share. So God, today, come against the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we pray that your presence, that your spirit would just rest on this place, on this property. God, we love you, we honor you, and we just give this time to you. And we pray that every word would be a word from your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, I love this passage, and there's so many passages in Scripture. Okay, and I hope you see this, where there's people that just say, okay, I love it. You know why? Because there doesn't have to be a discussion, an argument, a meeting, a nothing. They just say, okay, Jesus, we'll do it. Authentic followers are up for anything. They really are. You've got to think, this is early on in the ministry, and all of a sudden they're being told to go be Jesus, and they say, okay, we're up for it. We gave up everything, so what else do we have? Let's just go for it. See, it's so hard for us because we have so many things in the way. Well, you know, I've got to make sure this is taken care of and that's taken care of. And here, they already gave everything up, so there's nothing to take care of. And so they were able to just say what? All right, we're up for it. I mean, that's what we're here for, right? Kind of exciting. As I read this week, I thought, man, if our lives were like that, where we could just, all right, Jesus, today, okay. You know, authentic followers are trustworthy. Meaning Jesus wouldn't say, go be me, because he said, go do it in my name, which was very specific. He said, you know, you enter the home and you say, you're here on behalf of Jesus the Messiah, Christ. And so they were able to just go and be trusted with the message of the gospel. Authentic followers are empowered to be courageous. In fact, they were empowered to be courageous, whether successful or not. See, in America, when we're not successful in the church, what do? We ain't doing nothing. We tried that, and that was it. Let's go back to and never. try it again. Jesus said, just take the dust, wipe that off so it doesn't infect you. And what do you mean by infect? It means like, hey, whatever thoughts, whatever they said, however big the rejection was, wipe that mess off so it doesn't, don't hold on to it, let it go, release it, and move on. There's another house right next door. It seems so harsh, and yet authentic followers are willing to be courageous. Look at the Sunday school reminder. Oh, it's not on your... Think about this next thing. I'm prepping you for what's to come. Authentic followers must be competent, not too often in the church with people. And I thought this was an old statement, just heard it a couple of weeks ago. Well, I'm just not equipped to. I'm not sure what I should say. I don't know how to share. And I'm like, look, the whole Bible is all about letting Jesus share and you be the sharer. But it's him sharing. And so you don't need to be competent. You've got to think this is early on in the ministry of Jesus. And so they didn't have all the competencies set. They didn't get all their grades yet. They didn't get all their report cards yet. They weren't really, they were just going on faith in what Jesus had instilled in them and spoken into them. And honestly, in this service, most of you know what? A good portion of the gospel. If you're reading, listening, hearing, you know enough that the Spirit can come and use you. And if you're insecure about what your knowledge about the Bible, then what should you do? Read it more. Get more involved in it. Listen to it. And so, to be an authentic follower, you just have to be willing. You don't have to be competent. Okay, so there's two instructions. Are you ready for this? I love this, okay, because people just read these scriptures and just pass over these things. Jesus gave two instructions, and what were they? Take a staff and wear sandals. Interestingly enough, and I want you to get this so you can understand the rest of it, he said take nothing that has to do with what comes inside. This is significant. This passage sets up ministry for all of us. He said, I want you to put sandals on your feet, and I want you to take a staff. All having to do with what? Minimal stuff for, now he didn't say go buy a $200 Trek stick in each of your hands. You know what I'm saying? He just said get a stick because you're going to need it. And actually, when I studied it this week, it tells us that it's just for protection. So it wasn't even for walking. You know what it was for? The bear, the lion, the coyote, to knock them what? Out of the way. He actually spoke it in a way that says, don't use it for walking. Your sandals are for walking. That stick is to protect you from the outside. And then the instruction was, bring nothing for the inside. No bottles of water. No canteens of water. No bag. No food. Significant. His instructions were, rely on me for everything you need, even though I won't be there with you physically. You know why he did this? For you. Because he could have gone with them. He could have said, hey, you 10 stay here, you 2 come with me. Monday's your day, Tuesday's your day, Wednesday's your day, you're off on Thursday, Friday's your day. You know what I'm saying? He could have done that. But he did this for you. Because he knew he wouldn't be present, so he had to say to us somehow, some way, this is how it works. Jesus delegated a couple of things, capacity. He said, my capacity is now your capacity. You all know about capacity, like there's a sign in here that says, I think it's 1,200, but that cannot be. So we tried that once, didn't we? Never going back to that. But anyway, if you were here then, you regret that day, so do I, but no one of those mistakes. But capacity is so much, and it can't go beyond that. Well, think about the capacity of Jesus. It's quite big. It's quite strong. And Jesus said, go out in my capacity. He said, go out in my competency. He said, go out in my mastery and go out in my dominion. Go out. Man. In It actually translates that way: capacity, competency, mastery, and dominion. He said, go out and be me. If you'll just speak my name, it'll bring me there, and I'll be present. Whew. It's why we sing these songs, speak the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus told us to. He said to go out in the name of Jesus. Bring me with you. See, but you have to be an authentic follower who's willing to give up everything to be able to say, okay, I can do this, to be able to get to the place where Jesus says, hey, I'm going to give you the capacity to. There are thousands of churches meeting today where Jesus is telling the pastor to the church the capacity could grow. And the church to the pastor to Jesus is saying no. There's some of you today that Jesus is saying, I want the capacity in your life to grow, and you're saying no. This is what I believe religion to be, and this is where I'm going to stay. Acts 17:28 says what? In him we live. In him we move. And in him we have our being. Do you believe? Do you say to yourself, do you pray daily, in you I live? In you I will move. In you I will have being. What a prayer. Y'all with me? In him? In him. See, here's the problem with that statement, in him. I love this because these disciples, they had nothing. They left everything. Remember, they even just left their nets with fish in them. Many of us would say, well, that's a waste. Why not bring those and can them? You know what I'm saying? Like, at least use them for the... But Jesus said, I need to see that you're willing to be completely in me. And church, I think it's the hardest for us as Americans because we are just designed to think that we can do it. That we can plan, that we can take care of, that we can do it. And I agree, some things are important. But man, it's so important for us never to lose that in him we live. In him we have our being. In him we move. In him. And somehow, some way, these disciples already, and yes, they're going to get wishy-washy, and we know when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, they're totally different people, fully committed, on fire, understand what it means to live in him. But right now, they're just going about it in him. Church, if we would just go about it in him, I think we could let go of some of the restraints in our minds and our thoughts. All right, you ready for this? The bag. Y'all ever carry a fanny pack? Here's what's so funny. I was so proud as a kid. I got a fanny pack, and you know what they are, right? The little pouch you carry around, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to carry one around now because it'll focus on this area, you know what I'm saying? So I guess I could put it around back. But anyway, I don't want to, like, this has grown. It's harder after 40 to get rid of it. And so I'm okay with it. I can still hike and do all that, and it just sits there. So anyway, but fanny packs, you put them on your what? You carry them around, and you put stuff in them. You know what's great being married? You know what I do? I take my phone, my hand sanitizer, my chapstick. I'm obsessed with chapstick. All those things, and I put them in what? Her purse. Praise God for purses or pocketbooks, whatever you call them. You know what I'm saying? I put it all in there, and now I really don't have to carry anything. And oftentimes, though, I find that stuff scattered around the house because as she finds it, what does she do? I mean, she just ain't a good wife. She takes it out. You know what I'm saying? It says, by the way, your chapstick's on the table. Honey, it's just chapstick. Will you just carry it? No. So anyway, she bought a fanny pack on this trip. Come on now, right? Because they're back in style. I would just get one from Family Dollar because they're $2.50. If you go to like the hiking stores, they're $3.50, as in like 350.00. You know, it's ridiculous. Anyway, we picked up one. It was, what was it, $65? I said, honey, I love you, but not that much. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a fanny pack. And so anyway, we get a fanny pack, and we put everything we need in it. Interestingly enough, this was a bag that would have carried what? Money, food, belongings, other essentials for travel. Like, they would have packed it up and said, I need my things. I would have put it in a bag. Most likely, it would have gone over their shoulder, not around their waist. It would have gone over their shoulder, and they would have had everything they need for the trip to get to where they're going. And Jesus says, put that bag down. Come on now, see, we just read this. We don't even stop and realize how significant this is. Jesus says, take the bag with the essentials and put it down. You don't need it. I wanted to turn to many of the hikers and say, look, I mean, you look great. You're fit. You're doing this with sticks and shoes. And I mean, but my five-year-old's in her sandals, her little shorts, and she doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so you probably can like save some money and not do all that unless you're going to climb the mountain part of it, you know, the one that just goes straight up, right, Adam? You probably get rid of all that, you know, but Jesus said, get rid of it all. You don't need it. In fact, all those things that are essential to put in your body, I want you to, because I'm going to provide for your body. It's hard for us. I mean, let's just be real, right? Even as I stand here, I'm convicted. It's hard for us to say, okay, put down the water bottle, put down the protein bar, put down the person, put down the thought in my head, put down the memory, put down the failure, put down what they said about me. And so the bag, he said, leave it. Just leave it. And trust in me. What do you have to leave? See, to really be a follower of Jesus, we are constantly leaving stuff. It's why many people that aren't Christians come to us and say, but I don't want to leave A, B, and C. I often say, well, how do you know you have to leave them anyway? Well, I just think Christians live so. But see, here's the thing, we never talk about what we gain. And so Jesus said, leave the bag, leave the essentials, leave the food, leave the water, you'll make it. And they believed him. Inside, nothing will suffice but me. It's basically what he said. If you want to go in my name, I'm going to provide what is going to go inside of you to sustain you. In fact, you're going to have just enough water, just enough food, just enough of the things that you need to be able to speak my name. And if someone rejects you, get your feet wiped and move to where I can sustain you. This was a great leap of faith. They were leaving his physical presence to go and just step in faith for everything they needed. You say, what do you mean? He didn't even let them do what? Take two tunics. You know, they would have used a tunic for rain and for shelter. And he said, all you need is one. Y'all can huddle together. So what is the problem with a fan versus a follower? A fan says, you two go ahead. Praise God for you. You know, in the church, we actually teach it. We said, go out and do, and I'll pay for you to do. And it adjusted our minds to think that that's enough. It's not enough. A follower of Jesus, whether here or there or over there, the problem with the fan is we're there cheering, but guess what we do when the game's over? We go home. We move on. We do other things. Our profession is somewhere else, our life is somewhere else, our mind is somewhere else until it resurges again, or until we check the stats, or until we see a follower never goes home. A follower is always willing to say, okay. You say, Pastor, I hear this from you so much. Then why isn't the church full? So the bag. The bag. No bread. No bag. No money in that belt. Well, that's even harder. How did they pay for it? I don't know. But somehow they did it because the end says, so they went out and they proclaimed and people repented. They were able to cast out many demons. They anointed people with oil. They healed those that were sick. So they did it somehow without the belt that had the money clip and without the bag that had the essentials for what they needed inside. Your bag, you know what your bag does? It restrains you, it restricts you, and it keeps you planted where you are. So you remain where you are and where you always will be. Because each and every one of us carry a bag. It's not a real bag, but it's a bag, and there's lots of things in there that we believe are essential to us. Every time we go camping, I'm sorry to focus on this, but we sit around, and we did it again this time, and said, you realize we don't actually need all that we think we need? I mean, we take the essential because our van is not built to tow, and we kill it the whole time, and we just pray that it'll just last long. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's paid off, so you just pray that it'll... And it's not really built to tow, and we hear it strain the whole time. If you listen to the videos in the car, it's like, the whole time. I'm like, it never gets a break. If I let up on the pedal, no kidding. It's like we go backwards in an instant. I mean, I let up on the pedal, it's like, whoof. I'm like, oh. So my foot the whole time is on the pedal because it's not meant to tow. It ain't a truck. You know what I'm saying? It's a big old van for people and all these children we have. So anyway, it's not meant for that. And we sit at the campsite, and we say, they don't really need much. They have one basket of toys they're allowed to bring with them and no pants and underwear and a t-shirt, and they're happy. And they go in and out of the river and play in the mud. But see, we've created that we need so much to make it. We need so much to be happy. We need so much to... Maybe we're overcomplicating our bag. Maybe our bag is just too full. And what does it do? It restricts us, it restrains us, and it keeps us right where we're at. And so Jesus said, don't bring it because you're going to overthink it. Interesting, right? When you begin to look at what commentators say, and John Wesley says it, Jesus was saying, look, don't go back in a bag. Just go. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't make it more than what it is. People 2,000, 3,000 years in the future, don't make it more. Just go and be me. I don't overcomplicate it, so you don't need to overcomplicate it. Church, some of you are overcomplicating it, making it more than what it is. Well, I better really pray over it. The pastor said, come and sit in September for a couple of hours. I better really pray about that. You know you all talk, right? So just sit and talk. Do you know what I mean? And like people come, hey. You know, if they come in with a gun, then you say, hey, you're not welcome, and you duck. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you're ready anyway because you're Nazarene, so we're good, right? I'm just kidding. But we overcomplicate it, and so we what? We stay planted and not rooted in Christ. AFC has a bag. Why? Because the people of AFC have a bag. Why? Because I could stand in front of any church today and say, you've got a bag that needs to be emptied. So shake off the dust. Hardest part of Scripture, isn't it? We struggle with it. We say we've got to be love. You know, sometimes love is hard. You know, there are moments in our relationship where we always love each other the same and it just keeps growing. But it's hard when I have to say, honey, and she has to say, honey, your attitude, what you just said, it ain't right. And I have to say, you know what, you're right. Love is hard sometimes. And sometimes when someone says, you know what, I hear you, I get it, I see you, I understand it, but I don't want it. Jesus said, okay, then I'm going to shake it off. Don't get hurt, don't get bruised, don't get, let it go. Move to the next. That's lovingly let them have their free will. Don't stay in that. You know what we do? We stay in it. We revel in it. They left the church. You know what? We checked on them. We got to let them go. But boy, is that hard in the church, isn't it? Because we don't get that Jesus said it. Paul did it. The apostles did it. The early church did it. Sometimes you have to let go and let God. The bag prevents us from moving forward. So, can you shake off the dust found on the outside? Now, go with me for a second here, okay? This is very significant because Jesus divides the outside and the inside here very clearly. The dust, the hurt, everything that whatever happened in that situation, you all have been there, I would think. Most of you are good, longtime Christians. At some point, you've been rejected. And you know what? Rejection hurts. Being told off hurts. Saying, hey, I don't want hope. I don't want a future. I don't want eternity. That hurts. Some of you are sitting here today praying for family members that have said to you, I don't want what you have. And it hurts. And you pray. But Jesus said, get that mess off your feet. Because if it stays there and you walk into water, it becomes mud. If it stays there, I don't know. He was just significantly speaking to them to say, get it off. You know why? Because it can continue to hurt. It can cause infection. It can cause remembrance of that rejection. When you look at it, you can say, you know what? And see, he's figuratively saying, don't let it go inside. Keep it, because it has nothing to do with you. Everything to do with me. See, we take that rejection on. And Jesus said here, right from the beginning, don't take it on. It isn't yours. It isn't yours. It's why they could be rejected and still be able to come back and say, we healed, we prayed, we baptized, we... But it has to be about Jesus. It has to be about Jesus. See, many of you do your work in the church or service or whatever it is so that you look some kind of way. Think about this quote. You will find that the dust you let go of while following Jesus were truly the things that were going to destroy you in the end. If you hold on to it too long, it's going to hold on to you. And so Jesus said, let it go. You know why? You know those people live there, right? And they didn't go that far. And so guess what? They encountered some people that they were like, hey, I know, we're... And they said, we don't want... And then, right? Think about this. Those who aren't following Jesus aren't his followers. It's that simple. Followers follow, and those who don't follow aren't followers. To follow Jesus means to follow Jesus into a society where justice rules, where love shapes everything. To follow Jesus means to take up his dream and work for it. That's a follower. His dreams are your dreams, which are more fulfilling than you could ever imagine. So, we've got to take it back to the Eagles real quick. If I were like a real follower of the Eagles, I would be where they are. Now, I was a follower of them to start out with. Why? Because I grew up in Southern Jersey, a suburb of Philadelphia, and where everybody was obsessed with the Eagles. I still have my aunts that text me, okay, and say and give me updates of the games and what's happening there and what they're doing, and which is great. But here's the deal. I'm not there with them. I'm not on the team. I'm not their chaplain. I'm just not. Are any of you? You might buy tickets and go to a game here and there, but there is something about actually being in it, with it, there. And so I would have to go where they are to really be a follower of them. So I'm a fan. I'm just a fan. And I can argue with you and have fun with you about the Colts, and it just doesn't matter. And our society is shifting from that, which I don't understand. But here's the deal. Will you go where Jesus is? Because see, for some of you, you're standing here and Jesus is there. Doesn't mean you won't make it to heaven. You just may not make it in the fullness that he would like you to. And so the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at hard passages. And a lot of what Jesus does, we're going to work through Mark, is a little difficult. And it is hard to say, you know what, I'm not just a fan, but I'm a follower. And a follower has to follow. You have to. And so the question for the first week is, where are you? Are you a fan or are you a follower? My daughter always says this, and this is okay to say, but we had to stop to get something on our way home yesterday, and she comes out of the store, and I mean, it's crowded, it's Saturday, and we had to pick up something on the way that she ordered for something. And so we did it with the camper attached, which is not fun as a driver. I just feel so embarrassed. So anyway, we go into this very busy parking lot, and then she comes out the door, and I'm parked way in the back, and she waves me. And I'm not very good, you know what I mean, driving this thing anyway, and it can barely drive it. And then the parking lot's like this, and so you hear me come, and it's like, the whole, like, and everybody's looking, and I pull straight up, block the whole place, and it's because she made a friend. And so this lady had to come out to see the dog, to see the kids. And I'm like, you were in there for 3 minutes. How did this happen? And she's like, I don't know. And my daughter's like, why does this happen every time? And here at Starbucks, like, we can't go through Starbucks without, like, all kinds of updates and families. And they all know what? Quickly, they all know that she believes in Jesus. Why? Because she says it. Why? Because she leaves and says, all right, well, I'm going to pray for that. So somehow something happened. Because, see, followers follow no matter where they are. Because Jesus is with them. And so, are you a fan or are you a follower? Fans are good. And he's probably going to hold on to you. Unless there's a pivot point where he says, I need you to, and you don't. Then that's between you and him. God, I want to first just thank you that you give us grace, because all of us have been challenged at points in our life to be a follower and not just a fan, and we've said no, including myself. But God, we thank you today for the grace that you give us to say no and to still be loved and to still be a part of your kingdom. But God, I believe that that you're challenging us to go a little further, to stretch a little more. And that when you say, hey, Joe, I say, okay. And Lord, let us be more than just a fan. Challenge us in these weeks. Encourage us to read, to study, and to get it. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. God, we thank you for what you're doing on this property and what you're going to do. And I just pray today, if you're challenging any hearts, that you would just, God, continue to move, continue to push, continue to call, continue to grow. And I just pray today that we would respond. We love you, we thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being here. Sunday school, you got plenty of time to make it.